guest is Kathy Moray. Kathy is a registered nurse and certified holistic nurse with over 40 years of nursing experience. Kathy has moved beyond traditional nursing to a holistic practice, which includes healing touch, integrative imagery, and somatic experiencing. Her passion is to help educate nurses and physicians about the effects of trauma that is experienced in the delivery of health care, which impacts themselves as well as their patients. Kathy, it is a pleasure to have you with us today. I'm so excited that we have an opportunity to interview you and to talk about the wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing and the people that you're working with. But would love to start at the very beginning and have you tell us how you initially started in nursing in a very traditional area, a very traditional practice of nursing, and how you evolved to where you are today. So can you start us off on your story and tell us about how you began?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I graduated from nursing school in 1964, and at that time, everyone was joining the Peace Corps. A lot of my friends wanted to join the Peace Corps, and I joined a volunteer organization in the Catholic Church and was a volunteer nurse for a year in New Mexico and totally loved the work. From there, I continued on with traditional nursing. I worked in an intensive care unit. I worked mostly medical surgical floors and was very, very idealistic at that time and felt very fulfilled in the work that I was doing. There were so many of us, and I think that's probably true of the age, too, of being very idealistic and wanting to help alleviate suffering in the world. And nursing gave me that opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then you shared a story with me when we first spoke about what happened in 1967.
Well, at that time, I was working in an intensive care unit, and we had a little boy there whose kidneys had shut down after a routine tonsillectomy, and he was in a coma, and we didn't think he was going to make it. And the rule at that time was that the families could only visit for 10 minutes on the even hours, and that was every 2 hours. I was working the evening shift, and the family came to the door at 10 o'clock with another gentleman who they introduced as this child's godfather. So, of course, I let him come in and visit with this child for their 10 minutes. And as I went over to take care of another patient, I looked up, and this man had his hand behind the child in the back area, right? His hand appeared to be in the kidney area. And I looked at him and I thought, you know, he just looks really weird. And I thought, oh, my God, I've let a quack into the intensive care unit.
Oh, no.
I was horrified. And so yes. At the end of the 10 minutes, I went and told him that, I told all of them that they would have to leave. And I was very relieved to get this so-called quack out of my intensive care unit. And that was at 10 after 10. Well, around 20 or a quarter to 11, I went around to empty all the Foley bags so I could do the intake and outputs for the oncoming shift at 11 o'clock. And when I went to this child's bedside, there was about 100 to 120 cc of clear yellow urine in that child's Foley bag.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't think too much of it other than the fact that I thought, oh, good, the mannitol finally kicked in. And this child's kidneys are working again. And didn't think much of it until, oh gosh, it was 1992 when I took my first Healing Touch class. And the experience that I had of putting my hands on my fellow students or with them putting their hands on me and the tremendous life-altering experience that was for me, it clicked in. I finally got it. That man had been doing energy healing, and it was totally not in my radar screen that something, that healing could be going on when somebody just puts their hands on you. But it took me a while, but I got it,
and
got totally involved in Healing Touch after that.
And what you shared in our initial interview, Kathy, was that a lot of this really started to shift for you in 1985 when you yourself mm-hmm. were diagnosed mm-hmm. with a serious condition. Would you
right.
share with us that transitional period
sure,
of time?
Sure. I was totally a child of Western medicine, if the doctor said something didn't exist, I totally believed that, and thought that anything that was outside of the realm of what your doctor could tell you to do was airy-fairy and was not worth anything. And then in 1985, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, I immediately became open to seeing everything that was out there that could help a person heal. And I went on a macrobiotic diet. I did imagery with people. I went to my church where they were doing laying on of hands healing. I did everything I could think of at that time. And, yeah, I think it's quite typical of a lot of people that when you have a life-threatening illness, you immediately suddenly become open to looking at, gosh, what else can I do besides the traditional approach? And I did have a lumpectomy and radiation, but I also did these other things to help my healing.
Mm-hmm. So it had actually taken almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had been
mm-hmm.
in traditional nursing
right.
for 20 years,
right.
and you were living your life. And then suddenly, as we had talked about previously, you were knocked over the head, so to speak. With
right,
this.
Right, right. You know, they yeah. say that God sometimes has to tap you on the shoulder to get your attention. Well, with me, I thought, well, gosh, I think he used the club. So I better pay attention to this.
I know. So, sometimes he's really got to work hard to get our attention, doesn't he? Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And it was really, I felt like a call. To look at my life and to look at my priorities and just what do I want out of my life? How do I want to live my life? And I just looked at everything. It was really a blessing in disguise, one that I don't ever want to have again. But
yes.
it was a blessing in disguise.
Yes, we just need those kinds of blessings just
mm-hmm.
once, Kathy, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
But now let's continue on the journey. After you recovered from your breast cancer, and you've gone on to do healing touch and
mm-hmm.
other integrated healings
right.
since that period of time. And I'm personally very excited about the trauma work that
right.
you're doing. But
right.
and I know you've got a few more things to say about healing touch. So why don't you do that? And then after we discuss healing touch, we're probably going to take a small break. And
sure.
And then when we come back, we can talk about the trauma work that you're doing.
Great.
Okay.
Well, the fascinating thing about healing touch was that with the being able to put your hands on people or to work in their energy system or energy field, tremendous changes took place in the patients that I worked with and in the patients that I think that all of us work with, whether we're doing the form of energy work that I chose was healing touch, but there are out there people doing therapeutic touch, doing Reiki, Qigong. So it's energy healing, and people have tremendous healings with that, and it was so gentle and so powerful, and I felt like this was the kind of nursing that I really wanted to do. I went out and got a new anatomy book. My old books didn't have half the things that the new books had in them because
mm-hmm.
I graduated so long ago, but I got totally excited about nursing again and being able to affect not only the physical healing that someone was having, but also to be able to help them with an emotional and spiritual healing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was working with my patients with Healing Touch, I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity at this time that I'd have to add imagery to the work. And so then I got involved with the Beyond Ordinary Nursing Program, which teaches imagery to nurses, and I learned integrative imagery, which is a much deeper and profound level of imagery, and saw that patients had an incredible response with that, too. And so...
Were you doing this in private practice, Kathy?
Did this in private
yes.
practice.
Mm-hmm.
I had a full-time private practice in San Diego, and I became an instructor in the Healing Touch program, and I'm an instructor in the nurse's certificate program for imagery also, and find that extremely fulfilling and extremely effective. And from there, what happened is that I noticed I'm getting a lot of patients with severe trauma histories. And I thought, you know, to live is to have trauma. But having had worked in psychiatric nursing also, I thought it was frustrating to me in that I didn't want to label people. I don't like it when we just label people, give them medications, and send them on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that people needed more than healing touch and imagery when they're working specifically with the trauma history, although imagery is extremely effective with trauma. And healing touch can take trauma out of the field. They're very, very helpful. But I found a program developed by Dr. Peter Levine called Somatic Experiencing. And that program, you work directly with the nervous system with trauma. And I found that was even went to a deeper level. And so now I've added that to the work that I do.
Well, this is the meat and potatoes, I think, of what you're doing today. It sounds from our discussions that it's so exciting and it is so important. And obviously your passion is to educate nurses and physicians about how really critical it is to understand trauma, and not only the trauma that their patients come in with and experience, but the trauma that they can experience just being part of critical care or the healthcare delivery system. So, Kathy, we're going to take a very short break for some public service announcements, and when we come back, I hope that you will just run with that ball and tell us all about this incredible work. Thank you for sending the information about Dr. Levine's work, because it is just absolutely not only fascinating, but when you read it, you just say, I know this.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes, I recognize this, you know.
Exactly.
But, well, I can't wait for us to get going, so we're going to take a two-minute break. We'll be right back.
This is Brad Paisley. A great song has a way of tugging at your heart, but nothing tugs at my heart like the kids who are being helped at Shriners Hospitals. I know firsthand because I'm a Shriner. The Shriners provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care to kids, totally free of charge. And they combine that care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Which sound is more disturbing? The crying child? Or the total absence of footsteps from anyone coming to help? AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America, with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back. We are talking with Kathy Morey, who is a registered nurse, certified holistic nurse, and is doing extraordinary and wonderful work in the field of trauma. Kathy, can't wait. Why don't you just run with the ball and tell us all about this extraordinary work that you're participating in.
Well, right now I'm working for Dr. Peter Levine, who developed a way of working with trauma called somatic experiencing, which I just mentioned. And what's so exciting for me about it is it's an entirely natural way of working with trauma. That's not to say that when you have somebody who's got severe trauma, like PTSD, that they may not need to have some medication to stabilize them for a while. But then after that person gets stabilized, they may be able to go off of medication if they receive some somatic experiencing sessions. This approach works with our instinctual response to trauma. And let me describe what that is for you. Most approaches, before I describe somatic experiences, let me just give you a little background about what happens to our bodies
mm-hmm.
when we become traumatized and why most approaches don't work. When our being perceives a threat, our autonomic nervous system immediately, instinctually goes into action. We don't think about it. We don't have a feeling about it. It just happens. And that is, we go into the fight-flight response. We become hypervigilant. Our bodies prepare us to go into action. Our nervous systems, but anyway, we go into fight or flight, and when that happens, our bodies, the respiration changes, our blood flow changes, the pulse rate goes up, the blood supply goes to our extremities, so we're able to take action. So that's something that happens instinctually. If there is, the danger passes, our bodies will just go back to normal. But if the danger doesn't pass, then we are prepared to do something, which is either to fight back or to run away. But if we cannot do either one of those, then our bodies will go and prepare us for the very next step, which is the freeze step. And that in freeze, what happens when we're in freeze is that we don't feel what's happening to us with the trauma. We kind of go numb, and there's also a disassociation at this time.
Kathy, is that like a shock state?
It is a shock state, and you'll see that a lot of times with people who've been in a car accident, and you come upon the scene of an accident, and there may be maybe somebody walking around, and they've got blood dripping down their side of their face, and it looks like their arm is broken or something, and they're totally oblivious to it. They will tell you, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. And you can see that they're injured. But what they really are is they're in the freeze modality. It's called, actually, it's the immobility response or the freeze response. And that's nature's way of protecting us from the horrors of what's happening to us. So what we do is we work with this, the fight, flight, or freeze response. And with somatic experiencing, we can help people get out of that. But the reason why people haven't been able to get out of it in the past is because we really have been approaching it in the wrong way. This is a response. All these things that are happening to us are happening to us through the autonomic nervous system. The sympathetic branch prepares us for fight or flight, and the parasympathetic branch is the one that brings everything down and activates the freeze response. But if you have to think of it in a way of, it's like having the accelerator of your car on and then slamming on the brakes without taking the accelerator pedal off.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the accelerator pedal on with all this activation and then the brake with stopping everything midstream. And so you've got all this tremendous activation in the nervous system that has no place to go. If that activation is not released from the nervous system, what it will do, since we all, every organism, every person is always on a path toward health, so what will happen is the body will bind that energy somehow and try to find a pathway for the release of that energy. And what it will do is that energy will be bound up then in released in symptoms or in behaviors.
Yes, and the work of Candace Pert goes to the point of neuroamines and neurotransmitters that have specific targets for specific organs so that certain thoughts affect certain organs and what have you. So this is so brilliant. This is wonderful. And so how do you, through Dr. Levine's work, how do you begin to approach then a person who is in this state?
Well, we work directly with that part of the brain that regulates the autonomic nervous system. And it's different from traditional therapy because traditionally the avenues that we've had to work with patients were either through the analytic therapies, which are governed by the cerebral cortex, or the cathartic therapies, which are governed in the mammalian brain. And we found that the analytical therapies sometimes can go on for years, give a person great understanding, but not really change their response to trauma. people find they get activated over and over again, and they think, what am I doing back here? I just worked on this stuff.
Right. We've all been there, I think, haven't we?
We have. And then with the cathartic therapies, what that does many times is it can re-traumatize the person by taking them back into their horrible experiences, getting them to have feelings about that and expressing those feelings, which can be very traumatizing and also very disorganizing to the personality, very difficult to go through. So, but if you work with the reptilian brain is more at the base of the skull. That's where the autonomic nervous system is situated, and that's what we work with. So the next question is, well, how do you work with the autonomic nervous system?
Yes.
Well, it's very simple. You speak the language of the nervous system.
Now, I have to just ask you a question. Are we talking about the five senses? Because the reptilian brain responds to sensory motor, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Is that the type of language you're speaking?
Well, that's included in the language that we're speaking. And what we talk about is the felt sense. So we do use sense. We do use how, but we use it in a way of sensation. And we help people to be able to experience the sensation in their bodies. And this is a real art form, because if you've been extremely traumatized and you had to disassociate at the moment, it wasn't a conscious choice, it just happens. So that means part of you is not really embodied. So how do you then help a person to become embodied? And you do it very, very slowly and very gently as the person can tolerate it. If it was easy to be embodied, we'd all be there.
Yes.
So you want to do this in a very gentle way. And the beauty of this is that we know this in our true core self. We know how to do it. We've just forgotten about it through trauma, and then we haven't known how to find our way back. So a lot of our work is to educate people about what's happening in their body, to normalize their experience, that this is normal. This was the body's creative response to overwhelming threat or to perceived danger, and to help them learn how to tune in to their body's natural response to dealing with it. Now, Peter Levine, who developed this technique, studied animals and found that every animal is lunch for some other animal.
Yes, isn't that sad but true, Kathy?
That's right, this is true. And that animals are routinely threatened, sometimes many times in a single day, and yet they never hang on, their nervous systems never hang on to the energy of that threat. What they will do when the threat passes is that they will shake it off and discharge the energy of that experience and then go on with normal life. We as humans, though, our rational brains tell us, oh, that's not very cool, that doesn't look very sophisticated to be sitting there shaking. And besides, I'm fine. I'm just fine.
Yeah, that's the Descartes, I think, therefore I am thing, right? Yes.
Right. And so we discount a lot of our experiences, and that energy gets trapped in our system. And, you know, a simple example of that is if you've ever been in a near-miss car accident, and I think most of us have had that experience, you might sit by the side of the road for a second and feel that internal kind of shakiness, but then you're in a hurry, so you just keep going. And you don't allow yourself to just sit there and let that shakiness go through you and out of your system. And when you don't let that shakiness go out of your system, then it remains there. So that's what our work is to do, is to help the person move that through their system so that they can return to, their nervous systems can return to normal.
Now,
and we do that through the language of the nervous system, which is sensation.
So is this something that takes place over time? So when you see a patient, they may have to learn to process this, but it happens over a period of time as they can tolerate it?
Well, With this work, it's less is more. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is that when they come in to work on their trauma, you don't focus directly on the trauma. Because sometimes just thinking about trauma traumatizes people. It re-traumatizes
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't do it that way. We do it a little more slowly. Now, that's not to say that this is a very long process, because with a traumatic experience that maybe is like a one-time event, it will not take long to be able to move that through the system, and that can be done maybe in just a couple of treatments. A lot of us have other kinds of traumas that maybe were childhood traumas, birth traumas that we don't really know about, and have maybe a pattern of traumatic experiences in our lifetime. And working with that takes a little bit longer.
Well, I know the audience is just as, just as excited and fascinated by this conversation as I am, and we want to hear more and more details about it. Unfortunately, we have to take a very short break. So, Kathy, if you will hold that thought, we're going to be right back, and we'll continue this fascinating discussion on trauma.
Each night, thousands of kids in America are sent to bed without dinner, not because they did anything wrong, but because many families don't have enough money to pay the bills and buy food. The simple fact is, 1 in 5 kids in America faces hunger. You can help by calling 1-800-FEED-KIDS or by visiting feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So call 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
And we are back speaking to Kathy Morey. And before the break, Kathy was beginning to describe to us the process of dealing with trauma in this very unique process that Dr. Peter Levine, who is a physician, I believe, Kathy, yes, has developed.
Well, he's a psychologist.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Dr. Levine, and then please continue on with this incredibly fascinating topic.
Well, Dr. Levine holds a doctorate degree in both medical biophysics and psychology. And he has studied stress and trauma for over 30 years. And he's been featured in a variety of scientific and medical publications. He wrote a book called Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma, which is now published in 10 languages. It is the number one selling book on trauma today, according to Amazon.com. It's a very, very easy to read book. And he also was a stress consultant for NASA when they were training the astronauts for the first space shuttle flight.
Fascinating.
Hmm. He is. And he taught at the Hopi Guidance Center in Arizona. He's taught at hospitals and pain clinics. And his program, Somatic Experiencing, is all over the world now. We have classes all over the world. And he's in the process of writing another book now, another couple of books on trauma. He's got a tape series, Healing Sexual Trauma. What's the next one? Oh, Healing Trauma is another tape series of 6 tapes, which kind of describes his method, his approach. So he's very, very active. He's working with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk right now on another book on trauma.
Oh, terrific. I mean, this is great information for the nurses and for the physicians who are listening to know about. And, of course, you know that all this information will be on your page on mm-hmm. nurseradio.org, so people can contact the website and can contact Dr. Levine as well as yourself.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to go back a little bit and talk about on trauma, that we approach it by using the language of the nervous system. And I think that can still be a little vague for people. And let me illustrate how that differs from traditional therapy. If you were to go to a traditional therapist who doesn't do somatic experiencing, they might say, well, how are you feeling? And you might say, well, gee, I feel really angry. I'm really upset today. My feelings are really hurt, and this is why. And you would pursue it on that level, on the emotional feeling level. If you go to a somatic experiencing therapist and they say to you, how are you feeling? You would be encouraged to say, well, you know, I'm feeling some fear right now. And the therapist would say to you, well, tell me, where do you feel that in your body? What's happening in your body that tells you that you're feeling fear? What's happening in your body that tells you that you're angry? If you tell the therapist that you're angry. So it's a new way of looking at it. It's like, oh, I'm going to go down to another level here of including my body in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the major thing, is we're including our bodies. We're including our whole self. And so, like, if I'm angry, I might say, well, gee, let me think about where am I feeling that? Ah, okay, well, here, my jaw feels tight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling some tightness maybe in my chest, maybe a little bit of tightness in my teeth.
I've
been able to identify where a physiological response is happening in my body when I have a particular feeling.
It sounds like a debriefing, really. You know, it almost sounds as if, you know, when you've had an experience and they call you in for debriefing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it sounds very similar to. And
well,
isn't that one a wonderful approach to, logical approach to dealing with trauma?
Right, right. And it can be similar to debriefing, but to go into the sensations where we start out, where the work really, really begins with somatic experiencing. Because then what we do is we teach people to be able to observe that in their bodies and then to just observe what wants to happen next. And it's interesting that when you focus on your body in that way, that sensation may change. It may move through your system in a different way. As you're doing that, you may start to get images, and then we will work with images. So my background in healing touch and my ability to track energy and my background in imagery are perfect for this work, because
mm-hmm.
I can help people to be able to track energy within their own bodies, to work with the images that they get, to see what happens, and then see what the body wants to do. And when I say see what the body wants to do, what I want to connect that to is, let's go back to the original autonomic nervous system response to threat, where the body prepares for fight or flight. It's not able to do either one of those, so it goes into the freeze response. So we know that the body wants to do something. It's prepared itself for an action that got thwarted, that it wasn't able to do. It was not able to complete. And that's the crux of working with somatic experiencing, is to help people to be able to complete what they wanted to complete in the first place. And so what we'll see with a person who's in a therapeutic session with somatic experiencing, and they're working with noticing what's going on in their body, working with their images, and then discovering that their body may want to move in a certain way, a certain maybe a defensive way or aggressive way, to complete the action it never got to complete. So we help them to be able to do that. And as the energy moves through the system and the body completes the action that it wants to do, we help people to be able to do that as the observer of watching their body do this. And they do it in a very, very slow motion kind of movements. The slow motion movements help the nervous system to make the connections with itself. So it's not disconnected from experience. It's connected. And the energy flows through the nervous system and then out, and then healing can take place. If you were to, say, go to do cathartic therapy, and you say, oh, I'm so angry, I just feel like hitting, you usually were given a bataka, and you hit the bed or hit the couch, and and said, you know, screamed out whatever you wanted to scream. With somatic experiencing, when the person says, I feel like hitting, we say, where do you feel that in your body? What's happening that's telling you you want to hit? And they say, well, my, you know, my fist is starting to clench. And so we say, do that very slowly. Just watch and let your body do what it needs to do as you watch, and let it happen in a very slow motion way. It's very, very powerful. And what will happen mostly, sometimes people will start to tremble. They may yawn. They may feel intense heat going through their system. And then the energy moves through and it's completed. And out of that new experience that's oriented in the body, people many times come to a whole new meaning about what's happened to them in their lifetime. So rather than having meanings that we create out of our experience come from our mind, our cognitively, you know, think about it, or out of feelings that have been overwhelming, the new meaning will come out of a deeper understanding oriented from the body.
But what's particularly wonderful about this work is that it appears to be truly integrative, because it includes the mind.
Yes.
And part of the pathway, part of the pathway to arriving at this incredible process, is that you engage, you know, it's not rejected the mind, it's included in the process.
No, it's a totality. And people will go into affect, you know, they'll go into a lot of feeling, and they'll have cognitive awarenesses that'll click in, but it comes out of the body. But the beauty of this is that never in the process is the experience overwhelming. So it's something that builds on the person's abilities in the present moment. So instead of going to a therapist and saying, you know, I've had these terrible experiences, I've never been able to work it out, I feel like such a failure, the therapist would probably say, you know, you've done, how you are able to live through this is absolutely incredible. To be able to function in your life on the level that you've been able to function is wonderful. Now let's build on that. So you're normalizing experience. You're normalizing the way a person looks at themselves. I'm a normal person, and this happened in my nervous system, and I can learn how to help it to flow through.
What a gift.
What a gift.
Isn't
yeah.
this a gift? And when we look at embryology and we realize that the first system, the first intelligence, the first awareness, the first cognitive aspect of the human experience is through the nervous system,
right. It
makes perfect sense that we are absorbing information from our mothers in intrauterine before we're born, especially during the birth process. And of course, there are so many of us that have been traumatized even well before we were even in the world.
Exactly.
And
how that happens is that the baby does not have a developed, or the fetus does not have a developed nervous system, and so they entrain with the mother's nervous system. So if the mother's under a lot of stress, or maybe the mother may have had a medical procedure during the pregnancy, which is extremely stressful to the patient, or to the baby rather, the fetus, that fetus will pick up all of that stress and it will be in the fetus's nervous system. The beauty about this work is that the person does not have to go back and dredge up the memories. And who can remember when they were interutero, or who can remember infancy or early childhood many times? And so since the success of the work is not dependent on memory, which is not reliable anyway, we can work with the nervous system and heal the nervous system, help that energy to move through the nervous system no matter what stage of development the person was at, whether they were in the womb or whether it was after birth.
Well, it is, again, a truly an extraordinary gift. And as someone like many of us who are listening mm-hmm. to this this conversation, who we've all experienced this kind of trauma, mm-hmm. you can just get excited about the potential, Kathy.
Right.
We're going to take another break. I can't believe this program has just gone zipping by. When we come back, would you please tell us more stories? You have a story about a woman who was quite ill, very ill, and mm-hmm. Would love for you to share that again. And if you would continue on with the great work that you're doing. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hey, you're the new tech support guy, right?
Right. Dave Lewis, man. Good to meet you.
You too. You know, the way these things crash, you're going to be busy.
Well, that's all right. Hey, listen, I'm going to hit the men's room, okay? I'll see you around, I'm sure.
Okay, but you can't go in there.
Executive washroom, huh?
No. Can't you see the sign? That bathroom is whites only.
Whites only?
Yeah. Just one second. Hey, Karen, where's that colored bathroom again? If you go through that exit, there's a staircase. I think it's up on 3.
Okay. Thanks.
Imagine what America would be like today if Martin Luther King never had a dream. It's time to honor his memory. Visit buildthedream.org to learn about the Martin Luther King National Memorial Project in Washington, D.C. You can help him stand among our nation's heroes and preserve his message of hope for future generations. Visit buildthedream.org. Together, we can help make history.
When she was born, it was like the 4th of July and New Year's Eve rolled into one.
Jack and Karen talk about their 6-year-old, Angela.
She's a great kid, but we noticed she was struggling a bit in school.
See, I wanted to get information, you know, just in case we needed it.
I resisted. I figured she'd grow out of it, but Karen was right. Turns out Angela's a bright kid, she just learns differently.
Right, you know, I tell any parent who thinks there's a learning problem, get help ASAP.
I mean, who knows your child better than you?
That's right.
If you think there's something wrong, do something right now. Get help. For free information on how to help your child, visit www.focusonlearning.org, www.focusonlearning.org, or call 1-888-478-MIND. Do it for your child. Do it for yourself. But do it now. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coordinated Campaign for Learning Disabilities.
And we're back with Kathy Morey and this incredible, incredible work that she's doing, Dr. Peter Levine's work. And Kathy, if you would continue and share with us some of the stories that you were talking about earlier before we began the program.
I'd be happy to. One story that comes to mind is a story about a patient of mine who came to me having just received a diagnosis in which she was going to have open heart surgery the following week. And this woman had been a Holocaust survivor. She spent her teenage years in attics in Poland, terrified that she was going to be found and taken to the concentration camps and put to death. And so when she got this diagnosis of heart disease and needing to have surgery immediately or she was going to die, her nervous system immediately went into that shock and terror. And she had never had an opportunity to discharge the energy of that terrible, overwhelmingly frightful experience that she had as a young girl. And she was terrified of surgery, and she was sure that she was going to die. And so, obviously, this was not a good candidate for a good surgical outcome. And so I worked with her, and I worked with her 3 times before surgery, right immediately following surgery and 2 days after that. And what I did healing touch, I did imagery, and I did some somatic experiencing. And I got a call from her on her 3rd day post-op saying that she was being discharged. And at first I thought, oh my God, this is terrible. This is managed care at its worst. And so I went right to the hospital to give her another treatment before she went home. And when I got there, she looked great. And
wow.
She felt good. And she was relaxed, and she was happy about going home. And I was absolutely flabbergasted that, my gosh, this work really does work. Because it was a pretty severe case.
Isn't it amazing when you've been doing work for a period
right.
of time, and yet it's like,
right.
oh, my, you know, you you're
right.
just, you know, amazed because you forget sometimes how dramatic this work can be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You really do.
How wonderful. And I know you've got other stories about people who have been severely traumatized. Would you share one or two more with us?
Well, I have another story about a person who had severe, severe sexual trauma and did not remember the trauma, knew that something had happened, and knew from her behaviors that something had happened to her, but she had no conscious memory of it. And so she came to do some work with me. And in the process of doing the work, some horrible experiences did come up, but it did not disorganize her personality. She was totally able to function. She did not become overwhelmed. There was some sadness and some grief that came out, but not in a way that that just shook her to the core and made her so that she wasn't able to function. And that was pretty exciting.
I'm sure that that was just a turning point for her.
And I was really lucky working with her because she also, you know, I'm a registered nurse and my background is nursing. I have worked as a psychiatric nurse. But the important thing is to always stay within your scope of practice. That is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with her, I could refer her to a therapist who could work with her on a deeper level. So with some of these other issues, I was able to refer her to a therapist, but I was able to help her to contain her experience while she did work with this therapist. So we were able to work together with her other therapist and myself.
In the long term, with the patients that you're working with, what do you see in terms of long-term recovery or the sustaining of this kind of healing?
Well, I think it's much more effective than other therapies that we've had the opportunity to work with in the past. And the reason for that is that if you don't get the energy of the experience out of the nervous system, then it stays there, and with each experience the person has, it may add to it. So the person might find themselves, even though they've worked on their issues, that they're constantly being re-triggered. It's like, how am I back here after doing all this work? Why am I getting triggered again? And it's because the energy has built up in their nervous system. Whereas with this work, when you discharge that energy, you can find yourself back in the same situation. But amazingly, you're not responding the same.
That's incredible.
You do not get triggered. It's like being able to go back and see your mom and not get triggered again.
Oh, can we have
a wonderful experience with her.
Are we all listening to this? Are we listening? This is like going home for Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
You know, isn't that a classic? You walk in the door and you say to yourself, I'm not going to react that way this time, right?
Right.
And you're there for you're there for 20 minutes.
Right.
And you've got to go upstairs to the upstairs bathroom and throw cold water on your face because you just know you're going to lose it, right?
Exactly. Yes. Your body is reacting. You can't contain the experience. And so with this, your body doesn't react. With this, you can see the other person, whether it's your mother or whoever it is, you can see them as wounded people. You can act appropriately to take care of yourself, but without having it ruin your whole day, without carrying intense emotions about it. It just is. And you just don't react in the same way that you used to.
Well, signing up.
Yes, and you know, you can go back to your supervisor at work or to that nasty doctor, doctors are absolutely wonderful, but sometimes, you know, everybody reacts out of stress. But you can react in that situation very differently. You can stay more in that calm center and not react to people who are reacting to their own traumas. So and I found that personally myself. It's been absolutely incredible.
Wonderful. Well, I'm signing up, and I know that other people want to know, and seriously, how can the nurses who are listening, how can they find out about the different trainings? Now, you were saying that around the country, you're offering trainings in different parts of the U.S. here, and what can they know about these trainings, and how can they access the information about it, Kathy?
Well, it's a 3-year training program. And we are on the web at www.traumahealing.com. Our phone number is 303-823-9524. And the training is located, actually, we're all over the world. And the training takes place with 3 4-day workshops for year one and year two. And then year three is 2 6-day workshops. Right now, the trainings are being revamped somewhat because we're going to specifically focus on nurses and doctors, because our experience with trauma, although we have personal, all of us have personal experience with trauma, we're in a situation where we're working with traumatized people while they've been immediately after being traumatized or being traumatized while they're in the hospital. Because to be in a hospital and to have anything done to you is a traumatizing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wonders, am I going to live?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to have pain? Is anyone going to care or be with me? And so our needs are a little different from the average psychotherapist who sees a patient maybe some months or years after a trauma has occurred, and we deal with a lot more physical trauma. So we are focusing on really adjusting our program to meet their needs, and that will be coming out probably by the first of the year.
So people can go to the website, mm-hmm. and they can find out about the trainings, where they're located, and what's involved
yes.
with them.
Yes.
Who would you recommend? And I know you're going to say everybody that works in healthcare. I know that would be the answer, but
right.
if you were targeting, it sounds as if this would be incredibly helpful to nurses and physicians
yes.
who are working with acute care and
right.
and trauma care type of
yes.
scenarios. Do you want to talk about like the most highly targeted population that you're working with?
Well, I think, you know, the most highly charged population would be the acute care population, cancer patients, orthopedic patients, trauma victims in the emergency room. We need to teach our healthcare providers how to recognize overwhelming traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
Need to recognize what's happening with that nervous system. Even as simple things like explaining to people the informed consent, where you're going to give medications to cancer patients, what we do is we tell them all the ways that this medication can kill them. Then we have them sign an agreement that we can give it to them, and we go ahead and give it to them. And I have seen patients go out of their bodies when they're given that information.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there, I think, in the immobility state, being compliant, but they're totally terrified and out of their bodies. And so we need to be able to recognize, when is this person going out of their bodies? How can we change our approach so that we can help this be a better experience and we're not traumatizing our patients in the act of trying to care for them?
Well, that is just a fantastic and wonderful way of approaching the whole idea of serving our patients and even ourselves as
right.
caregivers, and
mm-hmm.
just God bless you and Dr. Levine for the wonderful work that you're doing. And I cannot believe but this interview has actually come to an end. We have so enjoyed listening to the work that you're doing and sharing your stories and your experience. And Kathy, personally, seriously, I have to tell you, in meeting you and talking with you as we have preparing for the show, it has just sparked such a profound interest in me, because like many people, I had a birth trauma that I think really stayed with me my whole life.
Sure, of course, because if you had no knowledge of it and no one else had any knowledge of it, how could anyone address it?
Exactly.
You just go through life having an uncomfortable feeling and not know where it comes from, and try to make meaning out of it,
mm-hmm.
which might be totally unrelated to the experience that you have. So, yeah, this work is very exciting, and I am very grateful for the opportunity to share the work that I do with people, and will be happy to answer any questions if anyone wants to contact me.
Well, Kathy's information and contact information and website will be on her page on nurseradio.org. And, Kathy, we thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and continue to have the great joy and success in the work that you're doing. And we're very grateful that people like yourself are out there making it a little better, a little kinder, a little safer to be in the healthcare experience. So thanks again, Kathy, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.